If you turn to Hebrews chapter 3 this evening, I want to talk to us as the people of God. And I really believe there's going to be some folks get victory in the house tonight. I believe God wants to do that for us. Amen. Young people, you probably can't see this, can you? Okay. We won't make everybody happy, but we try. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll begin reading with verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in. They could not enter into that promised land. They could not enter into that place God prepared for them. They could not enter in because of unbelief. I don't know how you feel, but I want to enter into the place that God has for me. I want us to return to verse 17. That's going to be our focus tonight. Whom was he grieved with 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Carcasses. In the wilderness. Carcasses in the wilderness. I want to minister tonight on this thought. Not a carcass. Not a carcass. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to move and to work in our hearts tonight. Do an eternal work by your Spirit. Lord, I believe there are those here that you particularly are speaking to tonight, even before they came to this service. And Lord, this is a message that you'd have them hear in the rescuing of their spiritual lives. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us to that place you'd have us enter, and that nothing would keep us out tonight, but we would enter into the place you have for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Ryan Rice and his family introduced us to a film, and it's a man given a challenge of not just being a fan of Jesus Christ, but being a follower, a true follower. And there's armbands and T-shirts, and have this slogan on it, not a fan. And that's caught on with a lot of Christians. I don't suppose my title as a slogan tonight is going to catch on with as many people. It doesn't quite have the ring to it. But I do hope you will leave this place tonight as fervently as those who've caught that other message, not a fan. I hope you catch the message tonight and you leave here determined, not a carcass, not this person. Not my spiritual life. Not my walk with God. Not a carcass. Carcasses in the wilderness. I read of these in chapter 3 of Hebrews. These carcasses were those of the Israelites who had been delivered supernaturally, delivered from Egyptian bondage, but they never made it to Canaan's land. Isn't that sad right there? Supernaturally delivered from Egypt's bondage, but they never made it to Canaan. They became a carcass in the wilderness. That's sad because Moses in Deuteronomy 6:25, he told us God's intention. He said, God brought us out from thence. God brought us out of Egypt that He might bring us in to Canaan to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. I want us to make no mistake about it. Just like with those Israelites, when God brought us out of Egypt, He never intended us to become a casualty of the wilderness, but He fully intended to bring us into Canaan's land. Hallelujah. If you've come out of Egypt, thank God. Hallelujah. But there needs to be a determination in your heart. I will not be a carcass in the wilderness. I'll be somebody. I allow God to bring me into Canaan. Amen. These carcasses were those of the ones who let God lead them out of Egypt, but they would not believe He could lead them into Canaan. I've seen this in our church world. I've seen this amongst our people. Too many have become a casualty of the in-between. They got stuck in between leaving Egypt and going into Canaan. They're a casualty of the in-between. Even the way is littered with those who one time rejoice of having been set free from sin, set free from bondage, set free from Egypt. They rejoice that God has set them free, but they ended up dying in the wilderness before they ever made it to the place that God had for them. I hope it's starting to rise up in your heart. Not a carcass, not this person. Thank God He brought me out of Egypt. Oh, but I don't want to perish in the wilderness. I want to make it into Canaan land with Canaan living. Hallelujah. Many have spent a lot of time of their Christian experience in the wilderness before they die there. And so the message tonight is God never brought us out of Egyptian bondage just to have us become a casualty, a carcass in the wilderness. He brought us out of Egypt to bring us into the land of Canaan, of God's blessings, the Spirit's fullness, the power of God, the victory that can be ours. Hallelujah. I want you to say it with me tonight. Not a carcass. Not a carcass. You see, I want to talk, first of all, tonight about the awful reality of those carcasses. You know, our world and our society is so unimaginably crude. They're really crude. And yet they act like they're shocked by some of the language of the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? And I know this word carcass isn't a nice word. Probably a lot of you thought of roadkill. Am I right? I mean, the word carcass is a rough word. Brother Tim, a more modern word would be corpse. But it's little more than just a corpse. It's a corpse that's been there for a long time. It's a corpse. It's the remains, but it's the decayed remains where only a shell is left. A shell that had been a living person. A shell that had been an animal. Amen. A carcass is the shell of what was once alive. The shell of what was once breathing and vibrant. Could I tell you spiritually, there are many that are the lifeless shell of the spiritual person they one time were. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I said there's many that have become carcasses. They're just a shell of the spiritual life they one time had. Whenever I read this word carcass in the Bible, I always think of those National Geographic photos of a cow. And all that's left is his horns and some ribs and a few patches of skin. And the sifting sands of the desert are coming around it. Just a
rib cage and horns. You say it can't happen to us. Paul begged to differ. He said there were coming a time when the people of the church would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have become a carcass. They used to be alive and vibrant and full of the life of Christ, but now they're a shell of what they were when they were first saved and delivered. The carcasses were the remains of those who had been headed to Canaan and did not make it. Many have gotten out of Egypt. Many have come out of the world, but they never did make it to heaven. Many have come out of sin, but they never got to the place where they were sold out in victory and in commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't want to be a carcass. I don't want to be a shell of what had been spiritual life. I want to have spiritual life today and tomorrow and clear till I make it. Hallelujah. I've read a lot of history, and I've read of the Oregon Trail, the California Trail, as they crossed what they called the Great Desert then, which we know is the Midwest Plains. And one chronicler, he said, in 15 miles, I counted 360 broken wagons, 350 carcasses of horses, 380 carcasses of oxen, 120 carcasses of mules in 15 miles. And he didn't mention those mounds that marked the humans that had perished on that trail in that desert. I know about that. I know about that because even I, in my own family, I've had those. There's some missing generations because they didn't get around to marrying until they were older. But I, in my family, I've heard of my grandfather talk about how they were moving in the covered wagon, and one of his siblings died, and they just stopped right there and buried him right there at a fence post on their journey. And I'm talking about those that died trying to cross the wilderness. Carcasses. It's an awful thing. There's a wilderness between Egypt and Canaan. And the Bible said it was littered with the carcasses of God's people who did not make it. They came out, but they did not make it all the way. Did it have to be that way? The answer is no. It didn't have to be that way, because the moment God brought them out of Egypt, He had one intention, one plan, one desire. Not that they would die in the wilderness, but they would make it to the land of Canaan that flowed with milk and honey and victory. God doesn't want us to be a carcass, a casualty. He has every intention on helping us make it all the way. Secondly, tonight I want to talk about the place where they died. You can go ahead and give me the map up there, but if you want to look here, this is a Sinaitic peninsula. It looks like a V. Right here is Egypt. Right here is the land of Canaan. We know it as Israel today. Right here. But here is the place of the carcasses. Here's where they died. In this little triangular peninsula of land. It's desert. It is barren. Right there's the place that was littered with the carcasses. In fact, the scripture calls this area the great and terrible wilderness. Amen. Some of you, you're not in Sinai tonight, but you know all about, because you're having your personal great and terrible wilderness. You're facing your own wilderness. Amen. This was the place of wandering. This area only gets an inch and a half of rainfall every year. Only inch and a half. There's no real water sources, no real food sources. It's rock and sand. It's a wilderness. In other words, this is no place to live. This is no place to dwell. This is no place, amen, to hesitate. This is a place to get through. It's a place to pass through. It's not a place to live. God never intended the Israelites to be 40 years in this area. He intended them just to pass through it, leave Egypt and go to Canaan. I know we have wilderness experiences, but God never intended us to live in the wilderness. He intended for us to live in Canaan's land. I know some of you have a wilderness you're facing tonight, but that's not a place to sit down and quit in. It's a place to get through and get to the other side. Hallelujah. As you could see, as a peninsula, it's surrounded by the arms of the Red Sea. And because of that, there's only two ways out of this. Back to Egypt right here, or on to Canaan. That's the only two options. Back to Egypt or on to Canaan. There's no other way. Instead, they wandered here. They didn't want to go back to bondage, but they would not by faith go on to Canaan. And so I'd like to call this wilderness the place of the in-between. It's in between what God brought them out of and what God wanted to bring them into. I want you to listen to me tonight right here, because God wants to talk to some folks right here. Amen. Tonight, there's a lot of Christians that are stuck in the wilderness of the in-between. They're in between what God has brought them out of and what He wants to bring them into. No wonder they're miserable as Christians. It's wilderness. No wonder they're not happy serving God. They're not happy with worship in church. They're stuck there in between what God brought them out of and what He wants to bring them into. That's an awful place to be. But I want you to know, this is a journey that should have taken 11 days, and instead of 11 days, it took them 40 years. Can you imagine? I want to say that one more time. It is an 11-day journey, Brother Dale, but it took them 40 years. There are Christians that have been stuck for years in this wilderness in between. It was never God's will you be stuck there. He wanted to take you across that wilderness and bring you to a place of the fullness of God dwelling in Canaan's land. And I believe tonight the Holy Spirit's talking to somebody. You've been in the wilderness too long. You're about to become a carcass and a casualty. And it doesn't have to be that way. I can take you to the other side. I can get you out of there. I can bring you to the place of victory. Hallelujah. How many would say it with me? Not a carcass. Not a carcass. And then I want you to notice the parallel to our own experience. I've already been alluding to it. But Egypt forever is a type of the world of sin. That's kind of surprising, because Egypt along the Nile has such a great climate along the Nile that they, at that time and today, can raise 3 crops a year. Fertile. I mean, when the Israelites first got to Egypt, it was a wonderful place. They blossomed. They had kids. They had crops. They had wealth. Until a Pharaoh rose up that knew not the Israelites and put them under horrible servitude and bondage. Taskmasters. You've read it in your Bible. They took the people of God. They put chains on them. They forced them into slave labor to build the tombs and the pyramids and slaughtered them by the thousands. They had men with whips everywhere beating them. They broke up, busted up the families. They took the babies and threw them to the crocodiles in the Nile River. The land of plenty, the land of pleasures, the land of prosperity was also the land of bondage. You see, it's always been that way. At first look, it looks like the world has all the pleasures. They have all the good things. But when you look out at Egypt, you can't just look at the fertile valley. You can't just look at the pleasures of Egypt. You've got to remember the taskmasters with the whip. You've got to remember the heavy burdens they put upon the people of God. You've got to remember it was the death of their children. And Egypt is a type of of our life in sin. How many remembers a time when you were bound by sin and under the taskmaster of Satan? It was a place of suffering. If you'd stayed there, you'd not only lost your own soul, it'd taken your children too. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when they came out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery, there was rejoicing. God had brought them out. How many knows on the day you came out of Egypt, there was rejoicing. Brought me out. He's taken me from the burden of sin. He's taken me away from the awful taskmaster. Hallelujah. He brought them out of Egypt. But Canaan was the land of promise. Canaan was the place. God said, you'll have your own land. You'll have rest. You'll eat the fruit of trees you did not plant. You'll live in houses you did not build. You'll drink of wells you did not dig. It's a land full of milk and honey. It's my promise, inheritance I'm going to give you. Canaan's land. What is Canaan? First of all, it is a type. And most important of all, it is a type of the promised life God has for the believer. God does not intend the believer to live in bondage, to live in constant suffering and pain from the enemy. God intends for His people to live in a place of victory over sin, and victory over Satan, and victory over the world, and victory over flesh. Amen. Canaan is the place of overcoming. Canaan is the place of the fullness of the Spirit. Canaan is the place of the sanctified life. Canaan is the place of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Get through the wilderness. He's got a Canaan for you. Amen. But ultimately, an illustration, Canaan is an illustration of the ultimate rest and final destination of the saints of God. Canaan is a picture of the end of our journey, the goal of our journey, of heaven. I'm telling you, one reason you can't be a carcass in the wilderness is just that you'll miss out on the fullness of the life in God. It's because if you're a carcass in the wilderness, you will not make it to heaven. Amen. Yes, you can rejoice and say, He brought me out of Egypt. But the question is, now that you're out of Egypt, are you going to let Him take you through the wilderness and get you to that destination of heaven? Oh, hallelujah. Not a carcass. There between Egypt and Canaan, a wilderness that's both our personal wilderness that we face. Some of you tonight, and I've been going 90 or nothing, but there's several of you tonight. You have your personal wilderness you've been stuck in. It's been sapping spiritual life from your soul. God wants to bring you through it. But not only is there a personal wilderness, there's a wilderness of this world. This world is a wilderness. This world will make you a casualty. Nobody's too smart, has too many resources not to be a casualty of this world. This is the wilderness to get through. Many don't make it. Some are lied to and say, when you come out of Egypt, there is no wilderness. They're lying to you. Have you ever heard them lie that? Come to Christ, get saved, and you'll never have any problems. They're lying to you. There's always a wilderness between Egypt and Canaan. But I'm telling you what the point is. Don't stay there. You've come out of forgiveness of sin. Go on to victory over the sinful nature. You've come out of Egypt. You've had salvation. Go on to Canaan. Be baptized in the Spirit. You've come out of the world. Move on in to the fullness of God Himself. The in-between. Don't be stuck there. Hallelujah. They'd come out of Egypt, but go on. Go on. And then last of all tonight, the message that these carcasses reach out to us. Amen. First of all, God wanted to take them through. Instead, there was a whole generation that became a casualty of the wilderness. Instead of living in Canaan, they died and became a carcass in the wilderness. Too many are stuck right there. I want to ask a question of us tonight. Have we been content of just wandering around in the wilderness instead of moving on to Canaan? Make it personal tonight. Have I been content of just wandering around in a wilderness instead of moving on into Canaan? I tell you, that's an awful thing. Wilderness wandering. I won't have time to go into it tonight. But you read about God's people in the wilderness wandering. It was all about discouragement, disillusionment, disobedience, spiritual apathy and complacency. And most of all, a wilderness existence. The people in their wanderings in the wilderness were always discontent and complaining and unhappy. Hallelujah. I want you to hear me tonight. Amen. I know it's like this any place, any church. But when I hear folks all of a sudden, they're unhappy with church. They're unhappy with worship. They're unhappy with every aspect of leadership and this and that. The problem ain't the church. The problem is they're in a wilderness experience. That's always the sign of being stuck in the wilderness. You're unhappy with yourself. And instead of getting out of the wilderness and getting into Canaan, you start complaining about Moses and complaining about Aaron and complaining about God and complaining about the journey. Amen. If you find yourself there in that kind of wilderness unhappiness, don't become a carcass. And you surely will if you keep on with your unhappiness with the things of God. Don't become a carcass. Realize what you're doing and griping in and complaining and finding fault with everything and say, enough's enough. If I keep being that way, I'll be a carcass. But no, I'm going to let God get a hold of my heart and bring me out of that wilderness and get me into Canaan.
Hallelujah. If you're in the wilderness, there's only two options. Go back to Egypt or go on to Canaan. Anyone here want to go back to Egypt? So what's our option? Go on to Canaan. You see, I got an option just to stay here. No, if you just stay in the wilderness, you'll become a carcass. And to me, that is no option. Hallelujah. People get to wanting to turn back because they start comparing the wilderness with Egypt. Didn't they do that? Sister Dale, when they got out here and things got rough in the wilderness, they said, oh, we had those watermelons in Egypt. Remember those watermelons? The one thing they remembered that would have been a real temptation to me was onions. They said, oh, I love onions. They said, oh, no onions out here in the wilderness. We have plenty of onions for our beans in Egypt. That's what people do. Sister Penny, when they get in the wilderness, they start comparing the wilderness to Egypt. But they compare the wilderness to the good things of Egypt, not the bad things. I want to tell you, don't compare your wilderness to Egypt and say they got a lot better in Egypt. Compare your wilderness with Canaan, where God wants to bring you. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. I want you to say it with me one more time. Not a carcass. I'm so tired of seeing another young person, another family, become a casualty of the wilderness. And I want to tell you, it's just what I just preached. You can tell when they're about to become a casualty, because all of a sudden, they join the complaining. They join the finding fault. Something wrong with people, God. Something wrong with Moses. I don't want to see folks become a casualty. I want to see them move on in to Canaan. I want to ask you, are you tired of the wilderness tonight? Maybe it's your personal wilderness. Do you feel spiritual death settling in? I want to tell you, young people, mom and dad became carcasses in the wilderness, but there rose up a new generation that said, we've had enough. We're going into Canaan. Every generation
doesn't have to become carcasses. There can be a generation that rises up and say, we've heard about Canaan. We're wanting to go there. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was reading several years ago when I read through history and out in Death Valley. They found, years later, they found the remains of an old prospector right out in the middle of Death Valley. When they found his skeleton, what was left, there was a pouch, another pouch with gold, and it was weighing down a note. And that note was his last words as he lay there dehydrated, dying for the lack of water. And what he had wrote there and then put the gold on to hold it down was, eyes died rich. You can have all the things of this world, all the pleasures of this world, but you'll die as a carcass in the wilderness. But there's another option. Let's move into Canaan. How many still knows what Canaan living is? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. I'm living now in Canaan. Hallelujah. Victory. Victory on top. Let's stand tonight and say, Lord, with your help, I'll not be a carcass in the wilderness. I'll be one of those that moves into Canaan's land. Let's praise him across the building. Would you do it? Would you praise him? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 You said, preacher, you really preach straight tonight. Yes, because I'm tired of seeing the casualty. Tired of walking up on the carcass. And it never had to be that way. Maybe it's your own personal wilderness. Maybe it's just the wilderness of this world. But I wonder if there's anyone here that would say, step forward tonight. Come step forward and stand in these altars and say, I do not want to be a casualty of the wilderness I'm in. I want God to take me into Canaan. Are you here tonight? You'd like to begin to come and say, I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm tired of the wilderness. I must have the experience. Are there others that would come tonight? I'm tired. I'm tired of a wilderness experience. Hallelujah. Are you here? I know there's others. I feel it in my heart. You'd like to come. Amen. Come begin to pray with this brother tonight. Others, you begin to come right now and say, I don't want to be a casualty of this wilderness. I don't want to be another carcass. Given out, given up. A spiritual shell of the life God once gave me. Oh, but I want to move into Canaan. If you want to move into Canaan, come with these that are praying and pray with them tonight. I want to move on in. You don't have to stay in the place of dryness and deadness. You can move on in to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Let's seek Him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. What about it, young person? Don't be a casualty. This world will sap it all out of you. You can make it through. You can make it through. You can make it through. There's victory tonight. You don't have to let that wilderness sap the strength out of you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, let's seek Him tonight. Let's seek Him tonight. Let's seek Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I refuse to become a carcass in the wilderness. I refuse. I know what it is to be brought out of Egypt. I know what it is to be set free from sin. I'm not going to become a casualty. I'm going to move on to what God has for me. Oh, Jesus. Come on, move into Canaan tonight. There's victory in Jesus. There's a place of overcoming. There's a place of the fullness of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Don't let your wilderness kill you. Come through it. Come through that wilderness. Pray, saints, pray. Hallelujah. Come through that wilderness. Call on His name. Call on His name. Move on. Move on. Call on His name. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's seek Him. Just say it out loud. Not a carcass. Not a carcass. You know what it is to come out of Egypt. You know that joy. You know that spiritual life. Hallelujah. Let's believe God in this place tonight. Let's believe God. Oh, come on through. You're going to make it through the wilderness. You hear me tonight. God said, I brought you out of Egypt so that I might bring you into Canaan. That's His intention. That's what He intends on doing. He's able to do. He's going to do. He brought you out that He might bring you in. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I can't deliver you. I know His word is true. He'll do what He said He'd do. He'll break every chain. I can't set you free. No matter what the case might be.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep reaching out to Him. I feel in my spirit tonight, this is a pertinent night for so many. Tired of that wilderness. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't head back to Egypt. Let's go on to Canaan. Let's go on to Canaan. Oh, yes.
Be down and feel like God is somehow forgotten.
Oh, yes.
That you are faced with circumstances that you can't get through.
Speak it out. Right, not a carcass. I refuse to be a carcass. I refuse to be the shell of what I once was.
God's proven time and time again that He'll take care of you. And He'll do it again. He'll do it again.
Oh, yes, Lord.
If you just take a look where you are now and where you've been.
Yeah, by your eternal spirit, yes, Lord.
Thank you.
bless your name. Come on out of the wilderness. Come on up out of the wilderness. Move on into Canaan, the place the Bible said they could not enter in because of unbelief.
But He's the God of the sun, stars and the sea, and He is your Father. He'll calm the storm, He'll find the way, He seeks it for you. For you, He's the same now as then. God will not change.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You may not know when, but He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you just take a look where you are. The sun, stars, and the sea, and He is your Father. He'll calm the storm, He'll find a way to fix it for you. Change.